Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include fitness classes, community education, information, and referral. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
It's a good thing I'm old enough to be in this conversation.
It's not even being old enough. It's having the knowledge that you do and caring. And we're talking here, and this is our last segment, with Marcus O'Toole. Marcus's number is 631-390-5000. And it's worth it to give Marcus a call, have a phone call conversation, go in for a consultation, because as is coming across on this radio program today, it's the need to do something. We can't answer the question. Marcus, I would never put him on the spot to answer a question specifically, what should somebody do? Nor can I answer a question, what should somebody do with their investments over the phone? But you need to do something. We all know that. At the end of the day, the number of people in this country without a will and who have passed away, 250,000 were going towards. I wonder what kind of mess is going on with many of those unanticipated debts. But Otto, you were saying something.
What was I saying? No, I think I was saying that we don't really know what's in store for us. So you can only plan to a point. You know, you can't plan like the final act. That hasn't been written yet. So you really have to kind of look at all the possibilities and see where you fit. Maybe you don't need to put your house in the trust, in my opinion, because maybe your assets are such that you can't go down far enough anyhow. You have enough IRA and enough whatever that you'll be able to cover your cost in a nursing home for X years. I don't know. I mean, that's just a viewpoint.
Yeah, everybody's situation is different. And I think the name of the game in planning for seniors is flexibility, you know, depending on what happens in the future, because I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't think most seniors do either, about how health may change in the future. Maybe you never need any of this. Maybe you need home care. Well, maybe I prefer assisted living instead. Or maybe there's a crisis and I did have to go to a nursing home, but I didn't really want to, but it's in my best interest. Or maybe I had to move in with my kids. There's flexibility is the name of the game, because health outcomes vary and people's financial situation is different. So I think that, you know, one of my jobs as an elder law attorney is to make sure that the plan in place is as flexible as possible. And that's kind of the name of the game, whether it's the trust, making sure you have the power of attorney to let your agents do what they need to do, the healthcare proxy, all those documents in place to be flexible. And, you know, like you said, like John said, you know, and then when it comes to the end, you know, having your will in place to avoid, you know, kind of a toss up as to who's running things and who's getting what and fighting in court. Because that can be kind of a mess and break up families as well.
Big time. Actually, Otto, it's an interesting point you brought up, but I know a woman in Great Neck who went into the Atria, okay, at the age of 90, and she just celebrated her 102nd birthday. So wow. That's 12 years. So somebody's paying for it for 12 years. So there's never a level of planning, and the richest people in the country do it. There's never a level of planning and say, oh yeah, but I'm covered because I have a year expectancy or 3 years. You know, what is that expression? When we make a plan, God laughs. I mean, here's a woman living for 12 years, and healthy as can be, and with all her marbles, etc. She could be there by the afternoon. She could be dead. She could be there another 5 years. So I do believe that when a senior makes the plan, they have to make it complete. I don't care whether you have a million, 3 million, 5 million, 10 million, and you have to take it and make it with your children involved and respecting that every child is different and you may love them all, but they don't all love the parent the same. And when it comes to money, Marcus has seen it, Peter has seen it, I've seen it. Oh my God,
I mean,
what happened? Oh, okay. that you think it's all perfect and now nobody's talking to anybody.
Right. And it doesn't have to be a lot of money. I was the executor twice of the will. And one of them, the maximum we were talking about was like $20,000. And it was like split up a family. They didn't talk for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just up here. There's, you know, money.
Yeah. You know, go ahead, Marcus.
I think that, you know, having the conversation, you know, look, a lot of my seniors are like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'll put together my will and then my kids will figure it out. I think sometimes if you think that there's going to be some issues, sitting down with them and saying, this is what I did, this is why I did it, right, will reduce the chances of there being, you know, a big problem at the end. Because, all right, we all sat around at the kitchen table, you know, at Thanksgiving, and mom and dad said, this is how they're going to arrange things. How can I come back later and complain about it? It's not going to, you know, 100% guarantee it's not going to happen. And it can be an awkward conversation, but I think it really goes a long way. And, you know, hearing it from your mouth, not just, you know, after you're gone, they get served with something by their brother. It says, here's mom's will, you know, this is the percentage, you know, tough luck. So having that conversation, I think, can help if you can do it.
You know, we've used the word kids a lot of times, assuming that everybody had kids. And one of the things I hear about trust particularly is that people who do not have anybody they can trust to be the executor of a will or whatever, that's, and they may have some assets, that's where a trust really comes into play, where you set all your assets up into a trust and you have a, like you, Marcus O'Toole, be the trustee who manages this whole thing based on this person's wishes. Is that like another category of, you know, we've been talking about people like me, frankly, who are in the middle of this whole thing. But I think there are other people who have a lot of assets, but they don't have kids and they don't have people they can trust. That's a different game. So your thought, you know?
Yeah, that is it's a different aspect of planning. And it's a little more complicated in some ways, because, you know, they don't have the typical, oh, we're married and we got three kids and what have you. But whether it's a couple who just didn't have children, or it's a same-sex couple, or it's just someone who's single, whose family is more remote, you know, having a trust in place for kind of inheritance arrangement purposes is important. And they can have, you know, me as the trustee, they can have some financial firms and banks will act as trustee. They're called corporate or institutional trustees, where you can have this third party who's kind of a neutral, kind of making sure that your wishes are followed, that your taxes are paid, that the money goes to a charity or to your nieces and nephews or cousins or whatever it is that you wanted to do. So yeah, you can have a third party kind of watching over things, but it's even more important to plan for that, because that doesn't happen naturally. If you don't have a will, you know, it's just your closest living relatives and that's it. Maybe you don't like all of them. You know, if the closest living relative is some nieces and nephews, maybe you get along with some of them, maybe you don't. So, you know, better get that plan in place so your wishes are followed.
At the end of the day, the money is going to be given to somebody. You're right. So when it's your money, so it makes sense for you to figure out what you want to do with it. But I want to go back to something Marcus said, which I think, and Peter and I have come across this on so many occasions. And just the other word that God has to go into it is love, because when he's saying, go sit down, and don't just show up the day after mom and dad are dead and say, here's what was done. Have the conversation with them. If you have two kids, five kids, 20, whatever you have, and say, we've gone to the attorney. Here's what we're looking for doing. We love everybody the same. Maybe somebody has a handicapped child, so I'd like to give that sister a little bit more money because I know they're going to have many more issues the years ahead. And somebody else might be an attorney or, you know, a very successful person, and come up with some sort of a strategy that everybody's happy. You know, some people want some of the furniture that's left in a house for sentimental reasons. Some people don't. So know your children, you know, have the conversation and let them feel a part of it, I think, so that after the fact, because obviously not all kids, all siblings don't get along. That's it. So why have a disaster befall a family and then have to spend money on lawyers to fight. And then you're not talking for the rest of your lives. I mean, we've got situations that it's pathetic. What has happened? What started off in my mind as a right thing, how somebody misinterprets it and it just goes terribly bad. So I think that one bit of advice from Marcus is so right. I mean, sit down. It's not a secret what you're doing. You're doing it for your family.
They're going to find out eventually.
Right. Exactly. And I'm not saying you want to bring everybody into it, because then you could spend probably 2 years with Marcus trying to make a plan. You know, every time you're going to adjust it because Susie said this and Sally said the other thing and Johnny said, you could go crazy. At one point, you got to pull the trigger and say, here's what I want to do. I want you all to understand why.
You know, I think that's ongoing too, because like I had a family powwow, I call it, where I actually had everybody come in and we sat and we talked like a bit like a business meeting. But I'm now that we're talking here, some things have changed. One of our sons died 3 years ago, and there's things that change as things go along. So you really need to have another powwow. And the biggest part of the powwow is stuff. It's cash and houses and things like that are pretty easy to be cut and dry about. But John, you've pointed out a lot of times, I put the stuff label on it. You know, the car, the house, the painting, the television, the whatever, stuff.
Right, I agree.
You know, causes a lot of problems, and that's hard to put into a will. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to put a red label on the back of the one for Mary and a green label for whoever, but maybe Mary and whoever didn't know about this and they really wanted the other way around, and it becomes a big issue. How do you stop that? I don't know.
Well, try writing some of it down. You know, some of it, sometimes it's not like legally enforceable, but you know, when I tell clients, look, if it's, you know, your personal effects, your family heirlooms and what have you, if you sit together, you write out a list. And then when you share it with people, and then when you're gone, everybody's sitting at the table and says, okay, well, this is what mom wrote this. And she said, this is what she wanted. It really reduces that friction by having it written down. I mean, if you wanted to get really particular, you know, you could put it in your will and you know, be much more official about it. But at least, you know, make a list. I think most people could be able to do that. You know, okay, this painting to this child, you know, this ring to this grandchild, this watch here, the television, you know, you can just write it down.
An interesting little fun thing, because we're running out of time, is I collect antique clocks and I have a lot of them. And that would be one thing in my life that I said, oh, the girls, I don't want to have issues. If we both die tomorrow, what's going to happen? Everything else is kind of normal and whatever. So this is going back a couple of years ago. I said to the girls, collectively, I think it was, go around the house one day and tell me which clocks you want if something happens to mommy and die. It took about 30 seconds for the answer to come back from all three of them. Dad, are you kidding me? We don't want any of them. They're all minimalists and their houses are like white and gray. And but I brought it up. So they'll be sold, whatever they're going to do with them. But it's amazing how, what's amazing is we're out of time. Marcus, I want to thank you so much. I'm giving out Marcus's number again, 631-390-5000. And Marcus is a friend and a very competent elder law attorney who has always been there answering questions. Call him if you have a question and then go set up a consultation, even in the midst of the pandemic. He's willing to sit down in the proper social environment. That's it. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.